Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of The Rick Emerson Show is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Final guest today is Nick Naylor. Mr. Naylor is the vice president of the Academy of Tobacco Studies. Now, they are the tobacco industry's main lobby in Washington, D.C., and Mr. Naylor is their chief spokesman.
Few people on this planet know what it is to be truly despised. Can you blame them? I earn a living fronting an organization that kills 1,200 human beings a day. 1,200 people. We're talking two jumbo jet plane loads of men, women, and children. I mean, there's Attila, Genghis, and me, Nick Naylor, the face of cigarettes, the Colonel Sanders of nicotine. This is where I work, the Academy of Tobacco Studies. It was established by seven gentlemen you may recognize from C-SPAN. These guys realized quick if they were going to claim that cigarettes were not addictive, they better have proof. This is the man they rely on. Ernhard von Gruppenmund. They found him in Germany. I won't go into the details. He's been testing the link between nicotine and lung cancer for 30 years and hasn't found any conclusive results. The man's a genius. He could disprove gravity. Most importantly, we've got spin control. That's where I come in. I get paid to talk. I don't have an MD or law degree. I have a bachelor's in kicking ass and taking names. You know that guy who can pick up any girl? I'm him on crack.
It's after the hour of one, and this is the month of May in the year of our Lord, 2011. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of this, the Emerson News Network, high above the milk packing district in glorious southeast northern Oregon. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday. It is 503-505-6964. It is 503-505-6964. If you'd like to join us telephonically, you can also email if you like. It is rick@rickemerson.com, rick@rickemerson.com. Don Taylor can also be reached. That is Don, D-A-W-N, at rickemerson.com. You can message us via the text box if you'd like as well, or the Skype is over. That is Rick Emerson Show at Skype. That is all one word. It's just Rick Emerson Show at Skype. Today's program is brought to you by me. Thank you for joining us. Coming up later on, we got your Cannibal Watch, Clergy Watch, Corpse Watch coming up today. Also, what else? Mr. Aaron Mesh. He's going to be joining us from Alamo. I believe he'll be phoning in today. I think Aaron Mesh will be he'll be calling in at 2:30 to talk about whatever's gracing the latest issue, which is a thing about which I have absolutely no knowledge. All I know is that last week is about the fact that, like, half the roads in southeast Portland just seem to be covered in mud all the time and don't have any actual paving done on them. So, you know, I don't know what this week is. I should tell you this, though. A little bit of breaking geek news. I don't even know if we have the... There we go. Oh, my God. Apparently, and this is, I'm just getting this now over the wire, over the transom, over the thing that holds back the other stuff. Wait, let me see if I can just hold on, if I can just get a little bit of a... Somebody's typing this and they swear to God it's not a joke. This doesn't seem like a thing that could be true. It seems like a thing that's probably not true. It seems like a thing that has to be demonstrably false, and yet is being claimed to my face to be a fact.
You believe someone is having you on?
No, I don't. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it doesn't seem like it could be true. In other words, I have no reason to. I have no reason to doubt this person. It's just Seamus. I have no reason to doubt that. I believe that Seamus would just peddle me a bill of goods. I don't think that he would just. I don't believe he would shallowly manipulate the program in that fashion. But when you hear, maybe not you, when someone like you, but instead like a guy who watches like a lot of snowboarding videos and plays a lot of first-person shooters, hears this, he won't believe that this is true. I'm saying I believe it to be true because Seamus is passing it along. But if you didn't know him, if you were just, you know, if he was just coming to you from some guy who was unknown to you, you had no way to assess the providence of the information.
If you didn't have as much faith in the source,
exactly,
as you have in Seamus.
I can only say that this is true because it's being given to me by someone whose opinion is it is the gold standard of honesty and veracity.
Oh.
I should also say, by the way. No, I'm just dragging it out for everybody who's typing, tell us already. Before we do anything else, Dawn Taylor's tracking the following headlines for you on this Wednesday.
The president delivers a commencement speech at the Coast Guard Academy. Two men steal 30 pounds of chicken nuggets, and a Sears employee steals boots and then wears them to work.
Okay. But all of that pales compared to this. Here's the thing: is that like the news actually it can't possibly live up to
no.
the it can't possibly live up to not just to this buildup. I'm just saying it can't possibly live up to the headline that I'm going to give you. The actual payoff.
I was just thinking this had better be good
behind that. Well, you won't care, but that's less important to me. I'll just say this. Okay, this is from.
I might care.
Dateline, Seamus' house, where he heard this from some guy. See, you would care more about this, I think, if it was a thing that you had been following over the years as a story. Now, I don't know whether you have or not, so I'll put it this way. The story reads thusly. Duke Nukem Forever comes out June 14th, which is the day before Seamus' birthday, apparently, for your face-shooting delight. It was initially thought to be released earlier this year. I think it was initially, it was originally announced to have come out May 14th, was then delayed by an additional month earlier this year. DukeNukemForever.com is now announcing the release date of June 14th, as I'm now seeing this information from somebody else. I've got a second source on this now, as they say in the journo world. That date is now firm, fixed, and immovable.
Ooh.
Sources claim that the game has, quote, gone gold, meaning that no more changes or tweaks or augmentations or modifications are expected. The game is being manufactured, being packaged, will be shipped, and will arrive in time for its on-sale date of June 14th. It's Duke Nukem Forever, released June 14th. How long has it been in the... If somebody knows this, you can type this. How long has it been in the works? Because I think it's like 12 years. It may be longer than that.
Wow.
It may be like 13 years. It may be less than that, though. It may be slightly less than a decade.
All right.
There you go. Once again, just for those who may have missed it. Duke Nukem Forever. It's June 14th, the hard, fixed, and immovable release date announced by whatever goddamn company even owns that at this point. I don't even know. It's gone through like 17 different owners. So there you go. It was originally announced in 1997. 14 years. There you go. Awesome. I only wish that they had...
I guess that is going to be some awesome game, huh?
If they had really, really... been smart about this, and clearly they're not. I mean, because if they were smart, the game would just never come out. If they were really, really brilliant, they would have sold it as sort of like a dual package with Chinese Democracy. They should have actually just taken the two. They could have done the whole thing. They could have done a trifecta. They could have gotten Chinese Democracy and Duke Nukem Forever, and then like a long delayed Salinger novel, or perhaps, or that sequel to a Less Than Zero that nobody ended up wanting to read. Yeah. They could have done all three. Take three things that can't possibly live up to the hype, and then sell them all at once to to a nation of gullible fools who line up at midnight to buy such things. So there you go. So we'll just let's do the opening again here and just. In any event, there you go. So that just in, Duke Nukem Forever, that is June 14th, the release date announced, passed to us by our good friend Seamus, who sits tentacle-like, jabbing at a variety of electronic devices that float around him in a cloud of ether and gel of some kind.
So we met that Duke Nukem this past weekend.
Yes.
He's a very nice fella.
Somebody's now asking me, using this phrase, they're saying, don't you think that was a lot of build-up for an announcement that wasn't all that exciting? It's all in the... Never mind.
Don't make us explain comedy.
I don't even know why I try. All right, it's 503-505-6964. Thank you for joining us today. It is Wednesday. Mr. Aaron Mesh from Alignment Week going to be speaking to us later on, about 45 minutes from now. Cannibal Watch, Clergy Watch, Corpse Watch. I know we already did this once, but let's do it one more time. What are the headlines you are... I was busy being entranced by the news about Duke Nukem Forever.
You weren't even listening, were you?
No. Don't even put the even there. I just wasn't listening, period.
President Obama delivers a commencement address at the Coast Guard Academy. Two men steal 30 pounds of chicken nuggets, and a Sears employee steals a pair of boots and then wears them to work.
Excellent. There you go.
Although I kind of gave away the punchline to that story, in the headline.
Because he wore them to work?
Yeah.
All right.
But really, if you just say, a Sears employee steals a pair of boots, people think, well, why is that interesting?
Never mind. I'm never going to read it. I'm just getting details about Nukem. Nukem Forever. Not even going to be... Seamus just knows that the next time he really does have news about something earth-shattering, nobody will listen. Well, but it was all worth it for this one golden moment of yucks, sir. It was all worth it for the lulls. It's Rick Emerson Show via Skype. If you'd like to get a hold of us, it's all one word, Rick Emerson Show via Skype, or the text box is open as well. So that is all. None of that is exciting. Not even the Duke Nukem news is as exciting as the fact that Tom Taylor is today sitting to you behind. Well, first of all, two things. One, and you probably saw this coming, a Viso bottle she again can't open.
I opened it.
Have you thought about, really? Because you were straining quite a lot.
I know. It took two times.
Have you thought about buying a can?
No, I figured out what the problem is, though.
What is the problem with the bottle, Don?
Well, the problem is that, it's one of those caps that there's the cap and then there's the ring. And usually with caps like this, you twist the very top and then it breaks away from the ring. But the thing is, the Viso bottle doesn't do that. It's attached to the ring too hard. You have to turn the whole thing, ring and all, and then it will crack and it will open. And I'm usually just trying to turn the top part to break it off of the ring, and it doesn't work that way. So I figured out it was not my lack of strength. It was actually the way I was turning the camera.
You have like a +5 rationalization power for everything. That really is your overriding superpower in all aspects of your life.
It's not a rationalization. I figured out what I was doing wrong, and now I can open them.
He who cannot dance blames the floor, says Confucius. It's a poor workman who blames her tools, Don. That's all I'm saying. All right, so that's not news, because that's just sort of, that is yet another day of struggling to open a thing that will then explode onto you like some sort of a sugary Vesuvius.
I've managed to make it without getting any food on myself all day today.
Can I just tell you this, that somebody noted earlier, I think it might have been Todd the Corpse, it almost certainly was, because I think he actually apologized for saying it and then urged us not to think less of him because of it. So he actually said something about... He said something about you and this sort of magnetic attraction that you have for liquids. It's the idea that we should have some sort of spill porn. He says, two things. One, and then we'll get to the other half of the Dawn news today. So part the first, and this really does surprise me, by the way. This is the thing that didn't surprise me until he actually said it. And then it became a thing that was not just surprising, but was in fact shocking, especially given this audience. He says, I don't know how this didn't happen, And this is, he's talking about the signing for the book, the Zombie Economics signing, which was last Thursday. He says, Rick, I don't know how this didn't happen, but I really, 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 really can't believe that no one at the signing did the whole by Grabthar's hammer by the Sons of Warvan, I shall avenge you thing while getting their book signed. Unbelievable. Which is a thing that had never occurred to me when I was, you know, when we were putting the signing together, when I was getting ready for it, at the signing, after the, I hadn't even thought about it until he mentioned this. And now it's like I'm not only surprised, I'm sort of shocked. I'm sort of shocked and stunned. Yeah. I won't say that I'm angry, but I'm a little sad. I almost feel like at some point I have to book another event just so somebody can do it, so the circle can be closed in my head. It just like now my life isn't going to be complete until it's done.
No one did it all weekend at our table at Wonder.
Doesn't it seem like that? And doesn't it seem like that's a thing that's happened at conventions all the time?
Yeah.
Have you ever been? Because we were talking about this last week that I've never gone to a convention as like a participant or like, I don't know, selling figurines selling figurines of Black Lightning or something. But I've gone to a lot of conventions as an attendee, and I don't think I have ever been at a table or been at a thing or a panel or whatever or an autograph deal where anybody has said the buy Grabthar's hammer thing ever. I'm going to be the first one to do it. Then I'm just the task falls to me. If no one else will return the ring, then I shall take up the mantle.
I believe you should save that. Just keep that tucked away in your pocket for when Peter Carlin's Springsteen book comes out.
Yeah, but he won't even understand what I'm doing, though.
But everyone around you will get it.
That'll be wasted on Peter Carlin.
Oh.
I mean, I love Peter and all, but I mean, do I ever? But that's the thing. I don't even really know that a lot of people in line for a Springsteen book would get it. They would just be, you know, there would just be some guy behind me, and he would be holding that box set of like The Road to Nebraska, and he would just be waiting for Peter to sign that or something. And then they just hiss at me or bums rush me out of the way. So that's the thing. The first thing. The second is this. He says, "This is Todd the Corpse saying." Oh, I'm sorry, because he starts by saying, you didn't hear this from me. Sorry about that. You didn't hear this from me, he says, because I certainly don't traffic in such unwholesomeness. But you and Don talk a lot about a niche or foray with the less conventional F-O-R-E spelling. Yes, we talk about a four. We talk about a golf warning. We talk about a four into the adult entertainment industry that hasn't been done in order to capture the market and make money. He says, I'm afraid to say the answer is sitting right in front of you, quite literally. It seems like every day you talk about how Dawn is spilling things onto her blouse. That's how we'll describe the show, by the way, to people who might be considering subscribing.
Rick Emerson and Show Pony, and it's all about a girl who spills things on her blouse.
Rick Emerson takes an hour to reveal video game news that three people care about, and Dawn pours stuff on herself. He says, you talk every day about how Dawn is spilling things on her blouse. I'm sure there are people out there with a spill fetish. You can do the rest of the math, because even typing that makes me feel icky for all of us. Signed, I'm so sorry, Todd. So there you go. Well, that's got to exist, though. I mean, that's got to be a thing that, that's got to be a thing that already, I mean, isn't there like...
Oh, I'm sure there is.
I mean, there's food porn and there's messy porn. Maybe it's not so much the being covered in some kind of a food or some sort of a, you know, maybe it's not so much having Nutella on you as it is spilling it onto you. So it's the inadvertent application of the food to your body.
So they want to see the little slow-mo of the mustard dropping down onto you.
You know, it's not like a guy pouring it on you. It's not like somebody applying it to you with a trowel of some kind. It is, in fact, an ersatz accident. It is the inadvertent application. It is the accident, faux or real, of spilling something and going, oh, aren't I the Butterfingers? And then you pour like warm Velveeta onto yourself, or you know, Viso or whatever. I'm just saying that that might be the key there, is it's the mechanism by which the food is being applied to you. And I also feel, by the way,
Would this just be a close-up of my boobs and the stuff just dripping down? Or would you have to actually see me attempting to put it into my mouth and then it dropping down?
Well, I'm not the target market, understand. I'm much more boring than this. I don't traffic in such narrow casting in terms of adult entertainment. I would imagine that this could be anywhere, though, because if it was, because I mean, boob porn is pretty straight ahead. I mean, that's pretty, you know, boob porn is just that's just a point and shoot kind of a thing. So
in
to speak,
in this case, the boobs would just sort of be the background, the foundation, the raison d'être, if you will, for the.
I would imagine not, because I got to tell you, most of the fetish porn that I've seen, which is not like a lot, but most of the fetish porn I've seen, quite a lot of it doesn't even have nudity. You know what I mean? Like it's just.
So I could just be spilling it onto my arm.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't know if you've ever seen like the videos of like the chicks sneezing that guys get off on. And like most of those chicks are fully clothed because they don't want to, like see some girl sitting in a chair like faking a sneeze or like sitting there and just sniffing black pepper until they just blow one out of their face. It's, you know, the sneezing fetish sites, which are fascinating, by the way. The sneezing fetish sites, those are all like newscasters or like actors on television where the sneeze is clearly real. It catches them off guard. And then they do that great thing on the internet where everything becomes funnier if you just do it over and over again, slower and slower. So it's like, achoo! 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 So, you know, and it's like, meanwhile, there's some guy at home going, oh, you know, and just, it's so wonderful, beyond my wildest imaginings. So I don't think it. I think the boobs are the only reason the boobs would be there is if you're watching with somebody, and they're not into the sneezing or the spilling in this case. Mm-hmm. And there's got to be something for them, like how you know, like there's like you know, like when you go to a like when you go to a family restaurant, they have one of those tables that you can write on with crayons, so your children don't you know are just not yammering and bothering everybody. Your breasts would be the tablecloth.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I figured.
As they usually are. So in any event, so there you go. Yeah, so yes, somebody says it would be food porn with an optional boob backdrop, depending on who you were. But that's only if you wanted to cross market promote. That's all I'm saying.
Because then you could have just spilling food on feet as well, and that would be even nichier.
That's what I'm saying. It would be because there is the whole foot porn, and then there is the spill porn or the messy porn, the food porn,
and the crush porn.
So it seems like you could combine a whole lot of these things. There ought to be some sort of a replicator for porn where you can just press two or three buttons, like one of those things they have at the Oregonian, like on the second floor, that just makes you a latte. Where you just press low fat, hot, whipped cream, and then you know it goes, and it just squirts the appropriate combination of things into a cup, and then you're good to go. And this would be like boobs, black girls, mice, pancake batter, and then you know, and then it just creates it. Your porn is being created, and then it just, and then it instantly just reconstitutes some sort of filmed erotica for your pleasure that is custom tailored to you.
I'll bet you anything that already exists in Japan.
Man, to hell with this! I'm leaving this job. I'm gonna go. That's what I'm gonna go Korea because that's where the money is. Right, I'm telling you right now, you overcome the issue of a lot of people taking your product and just circulating it online, because if it's hyper-customized porn, it's not like that's a thing that you would be able to find at a download site. If it's porn that's customized to exactly your taste, by definition, it will not... If you're using the customized porn system to begin with, it means that there is no porn currently extant on the net that meets your needs, which means that this can't be undone by file sharing and piracy, which is a concern for the porn industry. Less so for me, because I've already got all the free porn I need at home because of, you know, file sharing. So it's like, it didn't really matter. To, you know, from a trickle-down point of view, one might say, it's like this only really applies to niche erotica consumers.
And it... The best way to do it, actually, I think, would be if you could, like, start doing this, like, Redbox, where you could create kiosks, and they'd all be around town. And then, basically, somebody would just come in, they would push the buttons, get their custom porn, then they would stick, you know, like a flash drive into the machine, it would download it onto their thumb drive, they could take it away with them, and then it's not saved.
Right.
So then we wouldn't have, you wouldn't have to do any inventory.
If you had some sort of CG, I mean, you could actually sort of be constructing this on the fly, and you wouldn't even need real actresses for it.
Yeah.
But as it is now, it's like you could just do, I mean, especially depending on what the tone of it, you could actually just have pre-recorded lines of dialogue that are then dubbed over the, where suddenly she's, you know, like, putting up her hand to cough, and then she's saying, like, oh, you know, aren't you a bad little boy? You know, and then, it, you know, or whatever.
Steve.
Or, yeah, or, yeah, you know, or just, you know, or, yeah, or they, she could say, you know, well, you know, you're being pretty forward for a softball coach. Or, like, whatever, yeah. You know, like, whatever your job is or your particular fantasy. All right, there you go. Somebody just go do that. And then I don't even need, like, you just let Rick Emerson wet his beak. You just slide like 7% or something my way.
Oh, no, not the ping pong paddle.
That's what I'm saying. Somebody says run a streaming video feed for the Rick Emerson Show and add a monthly surcharge to existing subscribers who also want spill porn. Well, there you go. So then you're multitasking.
And then it's just a box to check. Spill porn? Yes or no?
Then it's like you have comedy and you have finer adult video entertainments and amusements being brought to you simultaneously. Oh wait, somebody's got the best idea ever. I don't even know if I should identify who this is. I feel like lately everything that we say on the show is either coming from Seamus or Keelan. So I'm reluctant sometimes. This is Seamus. I'm reluctant because it's like, well, and the deal is like people just get on jags where it's like they have, you know, what do you call, like jobs or something, and they're not able to be like listening or texting all the time. But here's the thing. It's not just that like it's always just Seamus, but people will get out of bed some days and it's like they're just on a tear. It's like they are just, you go through your, it's like on a day where you can just, you know, where you feel really lucky. Just like it's the inverse of a day where you just sometimes, do you ever have a day where you just, like a day where you just, and I know you never have these, but a day where you can't pronounce anything right.
That never happens to me.
I get the days where I can't type. Or I'm trying to type things on the keyboard and it's just not working out for me at all. But sometimes there are days where you were just on fire. It's just, left and right. It's like you were coming up with the great ideas.
You're always
ahead of the curve. Every now and again, we'll get some listener who's just really, I mean, they are just like batting 1,000. They are just spilling out gold all day long. And so as a result, it's just a constant cavalcade of just like text messages and emails. Today is that day for Seamus. He says, okay, now listen to me now. Okay. We've already developed Spill Porn starring Don Taylor. Now this is the next great innovation beyond that. I know that this all sounds really off-putting, but this is a thing you're not going to partake in as a consumer, even if it's a thing that like you wouldn't necessarily enjoy, you know, just as a customer of the pornographic arts.
By the way, welcome to new subscriber Amy.
Hello, Amy. Also, Jacob joining us today, and yes, Cheryl's mom's still out there. So just try to appreciate this from a creative and business perspective. Try to enjoy this as you would a finer Mapplethorpe photograph, perhaps, where you just say, well, it's not for my taste, but I mean, I could admire the creativity that went into this. He says, you guys should just pay to have Sarah lick a lot of geek gadgets. You know, like a video game controller or a cell phone on camera. I mean, come on. Let's be honest. I'm not trying to be... And you know that I am fundamentally, physiologically, psychologically incapable of thinking of Sarah in that fashion, because we have a warm sibling-like relationship. But look, as I often say, I don't know a lot, but I know what Americans will buy. And I'm telling you right now, you get a calendar and it's just like hot chicks licking an Xbox. Right there. You can retire on that. A year from now, I don't care what you're doing right now or where you live. A year from now, you will be doing nothing, and you'll be doing it on the shores of Maui. I'm telling you, somebody get on that right now. That is it. That is it. And see, I'm just giving this away. Here's the thing. You know what this show is like? This show is like one of those iPhone or Android apps where it's like you pay the $1.99. It's like that AppZilla thing where you're paying $1.99, but then you are getting like 100 apps all combined. You know, it's like instead of buying like a flashlight app and buying like a gas mileage thing and buying like a currency converter, you pay the $1.99 and you just get the whole bundle of apps, which I have done a couple of times. That's what this show is. You're paying your 32 cents a day, and then it's like I'm just giving out money-making ideas. It's like a less embarrassing, less horrifying, less overtly scammy multi-level marketing seminar. That's what this program is, really. It's like when you go there and a guy's trying to pitch you like selling some horrible, like a detergent powder that you have to go and then sell to your family to the embarrassment of everybody. That's what this is, except I'm giving you actual money-making ideas that could work for just a few hours a week in the privacy of your own home. And that idea is chick licking a video game. So somebody just go do that. All right, let's see.
Yeah.
Somebody says, so does this mean you're willing to pimp your sister? Well, yeah, I mean, I suppose in a matter of speaking, somebody just says, I have my money in my hand. You tell me when it's ready. That's what I'm saying right there. And the thing is, what could the overhead on that possibly be? How much could it really cost to actually have that manufactured?
Not much.
I mean, you know, really, I mean, I think if the internet has taught us one thing, there's always some chick that's willing to, you know, to do something horrible for like a pack of smokes on camera. I mean, it's like, how difficult could it possibly be to get that all put together? Not very expensive at all, really. Anyway, this is all true. We've done the headlines. We've done them twice, haven't we? Okay. I never did the second half of the opening, which is this. So A, da-da-da-da-da, spill porn. B, da-da-da-da-da, Don did finally get the veto bottle open. C, Don is drinking that Vizo from behind a brand new laptop.
Yes.
Tell us all about it, Don.
It is lovely, and it's it is a low-level compact, which means it's sort of a low-level HP. But my previous computer, of course, was 6 years old and falling apart. And so it's one of those things that after, you know, these things replicate themselves and they exponentially get better so fast anymore that the difference between my $500 laptop from 6 years ago and my $250 laptop from right now is just like a world apart.
Now, where did you, if you don't mind saying, where did you buy this?
At Fry's.
Okay.
And yeah, it's I mentioned earlier, it's my, I wish I could go back in time to my to me of 15 years ago and say, and then you will spend $250 on a computer that has 320 gigabyte hard drive in it. It's just like, and my 15 years ago brain would have just exploded.
The very first thing that Laura and I bought together, our very first joint purchase, was it was a computer. That was the which is sort of great, I guess, when you think about it. But that was the very first thing we purchased because she wanted to be able to play Quake. Because when we were first dating, this is how exciting I am. When we were first dating, I think our first date we went to see the movie, and then we went and we had the nachos like you do. It was just the whole, really, I got to say this without being, I don't mean to be all mushy about it, but I mean, really, it was just a, it was a series of just great events.
I've always been to ask you how you met her, by the way.
We had a mutual friend of ours. This is when we lived in Salt Lake City. The mutual friend, by the way, who was crazy and who now neither of us speak to.
Well, and to be honest, the mutual friend would have to be a little bit nuts. I mean, I think it's great you and Laura actually obviously have a really great relationship, but I don't know, from having met her the many times I have, I don't know if I would know you and know her and go, they'd be awesome together.
No, it's unsurprising. Her friend is flat out screaming bonkers, and is again not, you know, wouldn't like some falling out or whatever. But we just the friend that neither of us really talked to because she just became too crazy to even be tenable. It was like, it was just no longer, it was a thing that couldn't be maintained. But yes, the first day we go to the movie, it was like all of the signs were there. I should have just known like immediately that we would be married. So we go to the movies, we get nachos. We spent a great amount of time talking about facts of life, and then she impressed me with the whole thing of knowing the second version of the credits when they go off to Langley from Eastland. And then we went back to my place, and by my place, I mean the office where I was running a. This will shock everybody. I was running an internet broadcasting company with some former colleagues of mine. We'd all been fired at the same time and blah, 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 blah. But we went back to the office because we had broadband there, and she wanted to play a Quake Deathmatch. And I said, well, I know a place where we can do that. And so we went back to the office, sat down, and I sat down in my chair, and she sat in the chair of the guy who was sort of the co-owner of the company with me. And we deathmatched until dawn. So the first thing when we kind of, you know, we moved on to the, you know, got serious or whatever the kids call it now. When we were pinned and going to the spring formal together, we bought a new computer together. I could say that it was not for something other than playing Quake, but that would just be a lie. It was brand new. It wasn't like top of the line, but I mean, it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like crap. I mean, it was a decent computer. And the guy did tell us, and it has a 4 gigabyte hard drive. And it was, you know, it can hold up to 2 albums, and it was a different time. I mean, it was like a time before broadband was widespread. I think it was before Napster, but yeah, it had a 4 gigabyte hard drive, which was considered just like staggeringly huge. I mean, it was just, you know, the 4 gigabyte hard drive. It's like, how could you ever? What would you ever even need? What would you need 2 gigabytes for? Like, 4 was just being showy. And that was not that long ago. I mean, it was, you know, whatever, it was like a decade and change ago. So this is, when did you buy your HP that you just got rid of? Like 6 years ago?
6 years ago.
Yeah, and so this is like $250, this thing in front of you now, and it's got a 320 gigabyte hard drive, which is just, which really does seem like obscene. I mean, it really does almost seem inappropriate. It seems a little tawdry to have that much space on your hard drive.
And it's just, you know, and it's got the computer, the resolution of the screen is much, much better than the one I had previously. It's also probably about a third again lighter than the previous one was. It's like noticeably lighter to carry around. And it's that thing we talked about the other day, that yesterday, that, you know, it will never be faster than it is now. That whole thing of,
yeah,
I'm you know, putting, you know, loading, uploading Firefox, you know, and getting things the way I want to. But it's kind of like, it's not cluttered. You know, it's not all full of files and things and crap and stuff on my desktop and things. It's right now, it's just still really lean.
It's like bringing your baby home before it grows up and starts setting fires and becomes a hooker. You know, you just sort of go like, ah, oh, it's so pure and innocent.
Also doesn't have like food crumbs down in the keys and things like that.
It's strange that you should say that. Somebody says via the text, hey, you should have a pool to announce the first time Dawn spills food or drink or crumbs into her new laptop. That's followed by this comment. This is really true. 320 gigs seems like a lot until you start getting into geek licking and food spilling porn. Then it's just never enough.
Yeah,
no, that really is true. And, you know, and our friend Thomas Gill weighs in about this. As you know, he would. I'm talking about having a 4 gigabyte hard drive in this on the first brand new computer I bought. And he says, now 4 gigabytes is nice for RAM. My laptop I actually do the show on, has 4 gigs of RAM. I mean, my entire hard drive now, that much, that is actually what I use just for the RAM on this laptop.
And honestly, I think I can put 3 gigabytes of data in this tiny little thing the size of a chiclet.
Yeah.
You know, that's around my neck for using as a thumb drive. So.
Yeah, and it really is just astounding. And then I have, not unlike, I think Thomas himself is one of these, I have like a terabyte and a half, hard drive. I mean, it's an external hard drive. But I mean, I have like, but on this, I mean, it's like, I don't know, because my laptop only holds 100 gigs. So it's like, that's not nearly enough. So I've got I think a terabyte is 1,000 gigabytes, but I don't even really know. I mean, at some point, it just becomes like I'm just using made-up figures, like it's a trilobite, except that's an actual thing.
Yes.
Isn't a trilobite like a plant or something?
No, it's an animal.
Is it a mollusk?
It's like a little. I think it's like a one-celled creature. It's one of those tiny little.
Well, so this is bigger than that.
Yeah, it's bigger than that.
All right, on the outside,
but it's really delightful, and it has this really cool. Sort of textured black matte plastic thing. And one of the things that's really odd about it is that there's no actual trackpad. There's just the area where the trackpad ought to be. And,
right.
And it is a trackpad, but they don't have like a separate little square for it.
Does it sense
it's all
your
one solid piece?
Do you actually press on it, or does it through the closing of the invisible circuit sense your hand?
Yeah.
In other words, if you had a rubber glove on, would it work?
That I don't know. Probably not.
Because that's the interesting thing about like the iPhone, for example.
Well, if I have my shirt off my finger, it's still no. It depends on what area of it I'm in. So.
Okay. Because I think that's the thing. Because there's this great device they make for people who have prosthetics, where it is actually it's a plastic hand, but it's a glove that you put on your plastic hand, and it actually has small metallic contacts at the end to close the circuit. Because that's how your iPhone knows that you're touching it. It's not pressure or anything, as I understand it. It's that you are in fact. I don't want to say it's not electromagnetism. It's a thing like
conductivity.
Sure. It's something that does something or other. So they make this like a glove you can have like if you have a wooden hand or whatever, so you can still play Angry Birds, because that's really what this is all about.
But I will say also, we have great listeners. I had offers from a couple of people for loaner laptops if I needed them, which was awesome, including Roger, who offered to loan me the same iBook that he loaned Sarah when she needed one.
Yes.
That apparently kept like breaking down during the show, and much hilarity ensued. And he thought, because a lot of comedy comes from when your computer just doesn't work during the show.
Yes,
I'm not sure that's really a selling point.
I think
we've
had enough of that kind of comedy. I think we're maxed out on that. We've that show's run for many seasons here already.
And another listener actually offered to give me $100 towards paying for my laptop.
Really?
Which I wrote back and I said,
what do I have to spill for it?
I wrote back and I said, thank you very much for the offer. Because that was an amazingly generous offer. But I said, you know, now I got it covered. And I said, but I did put him on the short list of people to call if I need someone kneecapped.
Somebody offered you $100 and you just declined?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, doesn't it feel a little cheesy to just take money from someone?
If somebody's offering money, I'm just saying, I'm not saying that I would necessarily take it. I'm just surprised that you didn't.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
I'm not saying I would take it, but I'm surprised you.
Well,
didn't.
I don't need to buy. I'm not, in other words, I don't have like. I'm not the one going out to buy a laptop.
Yeah.
So, you know, but if I had to go out of my laptop, and you were, because you were like, you were kvetching about how much it was going to cost, and here's a guy saying, I'll cover half the price, and you're all, oh, no. So I'm not saying that I would take it, because, but then again, I'm not going out to buy a laptop tonight.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're going to buy a laptop and some guy's like, here's a $100 bill, what do you say? Like, well, no, I can't possibly make it easier on myself. It just surprises me that you did not take it.
I have issues about taking money from
you. You strike me as the kind that would. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying that strikes me as an element of your personality, that if somebody offered you a thing, you would take them up on the thing.
Usually a thing, yes, but money, I have issues.
You'd take goods. You just don't take cash.
Right.
Okay. So if he'd offered you $100 worth of computer equipment, you would have taken it.
Yes, probably.
Okay.
I would have.
All right. That makes more sense, because otherwise it's just weird.
Yeah.
Let's see. All right. Well, now people are just typing a whole bunch of things that they want Sarah to lick on the show. All right. Everybody can just stop with that right now. And things that they want you to spill. All right.
Well, thank you. Thank you for including me in that, sir or madam.
I mean, you should be flattered. I mean, it's just sort of, you know, I'm just, it means that, that you're never going to be out of a gig. You will always have it's like they say, there's always work at the post office. There's always work on a drop cloth, like for that guy. All right, let's see. Yeah, somebody's saying you can borrow my laptop as long as you lick it a lot before giving it back. It's the Rick Evers Radio Program. Thank you for joining us. It is 503-505-6964. Cannibal Watch coming up today. Clergy Watch coming up today. Corpse Watch coming up today. Have we ever had a show where there's like a cannibal and a corpse watch?
I don't think so.
Because that'd be amusing to the death metal contingent in the audience.
And today we do.
Did I show you that photograph of Cannibal Corpse posing with Jesse Jackson?
Yes.
Doesn't make any sense at all. It's a strange world in which we live in. All right. Yeah, somebody's noting, yeah, Don had no problem taking my booze. Yeah, no, that's true. Oh. I mean, so it's, you know, so it's, I mean, it's things, it's dry goods, as they used to say, that you're fine with.
I have this issue. I somehow got on a press list for film-related press things in New York City. And I have emailed a couple of these people in the past to say, I'm not actually in New York City. Thank you so much for inviting me to your event. And sometimes it's sort of disappointing. Like here it says, you know, I just got this email. On behalf of Anchor Bay Films, we're pleased to announce a press day availability with supporting actor Meatloaf a Day on Monday, May 23rd in New York City for the new drama Beautiful Boy in theaters June 3rd. It's like, well, but I'm not in New York. But thank you. But if I was in New York, I could spend a little time with Meatloaf.
If you were in New York, you'd be set. All your Meatloaf needs would be met.
Yes.
You'd be.
What I want to know is the actual star of that movie is Alan Tudyk. I want to spend time with Alan Tudyk.
Yeah, that's probably not going to happen. See, the thing is, here's the deal with the interviews like that. With interviews where it's like it's a film or it's like a band where there's like a, you know, like one member of the band is a lot more interesting than everybody else. You know, like there's, you know, like, I mean, not to be cruel, but these are all things we know. Like there's Colin Malloy, and then there's like the other guys. And I mean, even just like the last photo. So if you go to like I use the Napster service, and this is a thing I didn't really notice. I have Cameron Crowe to thank for this. You go to the Napster service and you go to the artist profile page, and I swear to God, it's like it's him, and then it's all the out of focus guys. I mean, it's like Colin Malloy is like standing basically like right in front of the camera, and then it's like other Decemberist guys are like way, way, way in the back. I think they are literally in an elevator down the hall from him, and I'm not even joking. I think it literally he is standing by the camera, and it's like they're being sent down to the storage basement. You know, and of course he's there with like a parasol indoors because it's what he does. But that's the thing that they do with bands. They do that with movies. So it's like if Brad Pitt is the star, but then it's like one of the Arkin cousins is also there. Like you can talk to him and maybe ask him some. Who's this? Well, it's Zeppo Arkin. Wouldn't that be exciting? And then you get to ask him some questions about Brad Pitt. That is what they do with this, because they then dangle out the possibility to you that if you interview, and not that I'm not interested in Meatloaf, but if you interview like a less interesting star number one, that then they might be able to squeeze you in for the actual star that you care about down the line.
Well, Meatloaf is literally the last person on the list of who is starring in this
movie.
Well,
is that like and Meatloaf?
Yes.
Well, so that's not bad, though.
Well, it says also, because it's Michael Sheen and Maria Bello are the stars. Then it says...
Wait, Michael Sheen is the guy from Frost Nixon, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right. Then it says, also stars Alan Tudyk, Moon Bloodgood, Austin Nichols, Kyle Gallner, and Meatloaf a Day.
Let's take these one at a time. Michael Sheen is the Frost Nixon guy. Who's next?
Maria Bello.
That's not the chick from Irreversible.
It's the chick from A History of Violence.
Oh, okay. I know who that is. All right. Who's next?
Alan Tudyk.
All right. And it was like a Blood Orange Meridian.
Then Moon Bloodgood.
Which is who?
She was like the hot Indian chick in Mel Gibson's Apocalyptica.
Which I never saw.
Yeah.
All right.
Austin Nichols. I have no idea who that is. Kyle Gallner. No idea who that is. And Meatloaf a day.
Okay, doesn't Austin Nichols sound like a really good looking, but in a really bland and generic kind of way actor?
Yeah.
Like he's a guy who's pleasing to look at, but has like there's nothing interesting about him. And then Kyle Gallner. Kyle Gallner sounds like the sort of quirky DJ Qualls-esque best friend or comedic relief who shows up at some point in this. And then Meatloaf.
And what is the point of him adding the a day back to his name if he's still going to call himself Meatloaf?
Well, because he's trying to be taken seriously. I mean, that's really the...
But he's still called Meatloaf.
Yeah, well, you know, Mellencamp was called John Cougar Mellencamp for a while. These things happen in stages. It's an evolutionary process, Tom.
But then he'll drop, like, the loaf, and he'll just be meat a day.
Maybe he got a meat a day, Don, does keep the... I don't know what I'm doing there. Well, maybe he's tired of the New York Times calling him Mr. Loaf.
Maybe.
Which they do, by the way. So, although not now, because if he's billed as Meatloaf a day, they call him Mr. A Day, not Mr. Loaf. Being Mr. Loaf is awesome, incidentally.
I know.
Mr. Loaf sounds like some sort of a children's mascot for nutrition, you know? I'm Mr. Loaf! And it would be like a whole thing of bread. And that you wouldn't want to eat all at once. You'd want to, you know, you'd want to eat him in pieces. Which sounds disturbing now that I say it out loud. But, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do.
All right. Are we done?
Sure.
I mean, are we done? No, we're just done
like
with the opening.
Whole day?
Yeah.
What? We could be if you want.
No, it's fine.
Hey,
we'll just
it's
do
our
this.
Show. We can leave if we want.
We'll do this instead. Hold on a second.
And now, from the news desk, this is Dawn Taylor.
We could just play nothing but, that waiting music all day.
What, the
No, the...
Oh, you mean the...
That, yeah.
Somebody has asked me for a copy of this music because they find it, how do they describe it? They said they found it incredibly soothing. And they said that just hearing this lowered their blood pressure a little bit. So I may make that available at some point. All right, here's Dawn Taylor, ladies and gentlemen, at the news desk.
This is Dawn Taylor.
A 19-year-old Pennsylvania man allegedly sold $6,500 in stolen guitars to area pawn shops for $280, according to court records. Joshua L. Campbell also had several other stolen items at his home when police served a search warrant there on May 6th. Among the stolen items were 1,200 rounds of ammunition and other handgun accessories. According to court records, police took a burglary report on April 22nd from a home where the homeowner said he was missing several firearms, ammunition, guitars, and other electronics. On May 5th, police checked Two Rivers Pawn Shop in Easton, Pennsylvania, and found two of the stolen guitars, a Fender Stratocaster and a Washburn acoustic guitar. Pawn shop employees said Campbell sold the guitars for $100. The guitars are valued at $2,500.
Well, that's, of course, that's, I mean, A, that is the fundamental nature of anything at a pawn shop. And B, I mean, everybody who's ever had anything stolen from them, anybody who's ever had anything like ripped off, that's the worst part. If you find it on sale somewhere, you find, like, if you ever locate your stuff, it's being sold by a guy for like 1/70th, you know, of what it's worth. That's always the pisser of just having musical equipment stolen, is that it's never, ever resold for the actual value.
Well, police also received a call from Barb's Treasure Trove in Bangor.
Uh-huh.
An employee there said Campbell sold them a $4,000 Gibson Les Paul guitar for $180.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Here's Dawn Taylor at the news desk.
Yes, they didn't call the police until after they'd made the transaction.
No, of course not. Well, why? I mean, that's like when I was, when I was a younger man and I was, and one would go out to buy, you know, stereo equipment or whatever, and you go to a... And with one quasi exception, because I don't actually know that the thing was stolen, I never really bought anything that I thought was stolen because it seemed like that was just bad karma. But you would just see a lot of stuff in pawn shops, and you would wonder. I mean, you just wondered if it was a guy who either A, like he was, you know, he was, I don't know, he had the move, or he was joining the military, or he was getting divorced, or suddenly he just like had all the, like some relative died, and he was unloading and all the stuff in the estate sale. Or he just like ripped it off from somebody, which is the only reason you would ever sell it to a pawn shop for as little as they obviously. But you would see stuff all the time. They were obviously, or somebody said it were bail money.
Yeah, basically bad luck.
Yeah.
Is there's a sheen of bad luck on everything that's at a pawn shop. An employee at Sears in DeSoto Square Mall reportedly got caught wearing evidence he had shoplifted. Sheriff's deputies say the 18-year-old worker was seen on surveillance stealing a pair of boots earlier in the month. The supervisor said the employee was also seen on surveillance tape wearing the stolen boots to work. When searched by a deputy, the employee reportedly had a handgun concealed in his shoe. The man who allegedly admitted to stealing two pairs of boots from the store faces charges of retail theft and carrying a concealed weapon.
Wait a minute. He had a handgun in his shoe, which he then used to steal boots?
No, I think he just had the gun coincidentally when he was arrested for the boots.
He stole some boots and wore them to work.
Right.
But the gun was where?
Well, it was in his shoe.
Why did he have shoes with him if he was wearing boots?
Well, he wasn't necessarily wearing the boots when he was arrested. He was seen on a surveillance video stealing.
Oh, they didn't arrest him at work.
And he was seen on a surveillance tape wearing the boots.
Okay, I've got it. Okay, so they said, hey now, what about these boots? Except, but they didn't go to his house to arrest him. I mean, maybe they did, but it seems it seems like they would not view that as a judicious use of their money and their resources. He would just wait for the guy to show back up and then just pinch him at the office. That's very confusing. Yeah. All right.
Let's do our corpse watch.
Here is your corpse watch for Wednesday, right here on the Rick Emerson Radio, wait for it, program.
I'm digging up bones, I'm digging up bones, exhuming things that's better left alone. I'm resurrecting memories of love that's dead and gone, yet tonight I'm sitting alone, digging up bones.
And very quickly before we... Before we do anything else, let me just say that, attention, sir or madam, sir or madam who is on the phone right now, we will get to your call in just a moment. So if you are on hold and hearing my voice, wait, hold on a second, let me just, your call is important to us and will be taken and the answer it is received. We'll get to that in just a second. Here's your corpse watch.
55-year-old William Hendricks of DeLand, Florida, discovered a dead body in his home, but decided not to call the police. After Hendricks found the 46-year-old dead man above the garage in the home where he was staying, authorities said he continued to do yard work. According to television station WESH in Orlando, he even poured bleach on the deceased acquaintance to mask the smell. Hendricks had told the man he could stay in the room.
I'm unclear. Well, first of all, this took place where?
Florida.
Excellent. And so he was leasing a room to the guy.
Yeah.
The guy was like a roommate. Okay. Then the guy's dead. And then he goes up there and says, hey, boyo, haven't seen you in a while. And then the guy there just in the chair, just decomposing.
Yeah.
But he says, I got all this yard work to do.
Yes.
And so I can't be bothered right now. So I'll just bleach you.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
After 8 hours, Hendricks eventually notified his girlfriend who owns the home. He said he was afraid of how she would react to the news. The girlfriend immediately reported the dead body to the police.
Well, so it wasn't for weeks and weeks.
No.
Okay, it was just I got to finish up the edging and then I will...
Wow, he stinks. I'm just going to pour some bleach over him for now.
Because daylight's a-wasting.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, the cops can come anytime, day or night, but if you're going to be mulching your petunia bed, you got to do that while the sun is out.
Sadly, though, Hendricks was arrested for failing to report it.
Well, but he did. But see, that seems like a bunch of crap. I mean, he did report it. He just didn't report it immediately.
Yeah, I would think that
he didn't hide it.
You would instead he would be charged with abusing a corpse or fiddling with evidence or something like that.
But even then, he could say that he was attempting to make the environment. It was hygiene. It was for the he didn't want to once. I'm saying if you were that guy, you could make the case that it was for hygienic and for the to stop it because you don't know if the guy died of something communicable.
Yeah,
you want to err on the side of cleanliness, don't you, Don?
But
next
law,
to godliness,
law authorities and forensics people don't really like it if you pour bleach all over the corpses before they can get to them.
Well, sometimes it's not all about what the man wants. It's sometimes about what the man needs.
I personally have no problem with his behavior whatsoever.
Somebody else is saying, finders keepers, look, free corpse. Well, that's true. I mean, there is also the finders versus keepers precedent that has been. All right, we'll get to this phone call here in a second. That's your corpse watch for...
I'm digging up home.
Did the guy really say, though, that it was the gardening that he had to finish up?
Yes.
Okay.
He was doing yard work.
I mean, it's only suspicious because you wonder how long does it take to make a phone call, and you can do that, you can be troweling with you have a little.
I know it's
with
gonna,
one hand.
It's going to take a while for the cops to get there. You could go back to the mowing while you're waiting for them to show up.
You know, you just be sprinkling a little Roundup or whatever while you're waiting. For the cops because you're calling 911 anyway. You're going to be on hold. You're calling the regular police number. All right. Let's see. Well, let's go to the... I need a telephone sounder of some kind because we want to kind of a jag lately of everybody sort of calling in with everything. Let's see if I've got a... see if I've got a whole... No, that's right. It always... I always press something and then it just ends up being that. This... wait, hold on. I'm sensing. Let's see. I'm trying to... let me see if I can contact through the ether, through the haze, through the void. I feel like... I need an envelope to hold to my head here. Sources point to... I just subscribed. How do I listen? All right, let's find out. All right, hello, sir or madam, as the case may be, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. How can I help ye?
Is this ENN tech support?
Yeah, sure. How can? What is your? What are you calling for, sir?
I'm trying to listen live.
All right, let's all hear it. By the way, for my prestidigitated
that
abilities.
That was awesome.
All right, what is your name, sir?
My name is Ryan.
Ryan, hello.
San Diego.
In San Diego? Where in San Diego?
Beautiful Escondido.
Oh, man. You know, here, I get to tell you, I love me some San Diego. This is Rick, by the way. Don, say hello to Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
Hey, Don, how you doing?
We'll get on your technical issue here in just a moment. But first of all, so are you now, you are a new subscriber, but did you subscribe or did somebody else give you a gift subscription? How did you come to be a listener, sir? Theoretically.
As a matter of fact, I first heard of your show when you were on Terrestrial and doing the pod thing at the same time. I heard it from Eric Tomorrow.
Excellent.
The Mediocre Show.
Eric Tomorrow. We love that guy. That guy really spreads the word like an MF-er. He's out there just telling everybody high and low about us. So God bless him. And then did you say, well, that sounds like a swell deal. How can I not listen?
Yeah. And then
now you can't listen.
You started charging an exorbitant fee for your program.
What?
And Mr. Futzer bought me a gift certificate.
You were futzered into listening. Really?
I got futzered into a year subscription. I'm going to have to turn
Jeff
that over
Futzer.
Here pretty soon.
It's the Rick Emerson Show is people futzing people, sir. So we like to think that... So you got a year subscription from our friend Futzer. All right. So now you are attempting to listen. Are you listening on a computer or on a smartphone-type device?
Well, normally I just... I'm a day behind. Because I listen the next day on the download.
Okay.
But today I had the good fortune of my babysitter's mom died.
That is good fortune.
So silver linings.
Congratulations.
I'm like, she's dead?
Me without my fanfare.
I'm like, she's dead? I can listen live. And then I go to listen live, and this is where I need tech support, man.
Well, there's a sort of symmetry to that, I suppose. All right, so you normally do you normally get the when you say you normally listen day after? Do you normally get it via iTunes or do you normally download the MP3 directly? I'm just curious.
Oh, iTunes. And
okay,
that's
iTunes.
The same place I get Ham-Fisted Radio, Court and Fat Boy,
awesome.
Legion of News.
By the way, somebody has identified you as being quote the perfect Rick Emerson Show listener and
you
awesome.
Kind of are,
end quote.
Yes.
All right, so but listening live, are you attempting to listen live on the computer or via like a smartphone?
Oh, on the computer.
Okay. You are, not that it really matters, but are you, and I'll just, I think we can solve this pretty quickly because I know that everybody else is out there going, you know, is this our new feature, live tech support? The answer is yes, it is. All right. So you are listening now live or would be listening live to the computer. Okay. You are sitting down. Did you go to rickemersonshow.com and did you see the thing where it says listen live?
Yes. It says subscription required. Please log in below.
All right, wait, hold on a second. So let me.
Let me move my Four Loko.
And let me.
Thank you.
And let me do the tech support thing of actually getting the same screen up in front of me here so we can walk through it together. All right, so I'm going to go to rickemersonshow.com. All right, wait, hold on a second. Let me just. Hold on. Rick Emerson Show. Rick Emerson Show.com. You know, I actually don't even have my own site bookmarked. It's because I'm humbled, Don.
Am I allowed to say boner?
Yes, sure. All right.
You are now.
Okay, so we're at Rick Emerson Show, and then you see the thing where it says "Listen Live" up there at the top right. Yes.
Indeed.
Okay, you're clicking "Listen Live," and then it is saying "Subscription required. Please log in below," because that's what I'm getting right now. Because I myself am not a subscriber currently, because you know here talking, and so when you subscribed, did Cheryl Kenekoa give you a username and password?
Well, I got it as a gift, so I have something that I don't want to say, but there's like an email address and then a password.
Okay, so
that
you
would be it then.
That would be, I believe.
And
that,
I tried that.
I believe that would be. I believe that would be it. Hold on a second. Let me see if Cheryl's actually. Cheryl is actually listening. So you are. You are Ryan in San Diego. Your gift subscription was given to you by the Futz man. So I believe we can probably, without actually having to say anything on the air, I think we can probably suss out what your name and password are, and then I can actually try it over here. And all right. So I'll tell you what. You are on Skype, are you not?
I am on Skype.
You are on Skype. Okay. So here's the thing. Let's see. I'm trying to figure out how to do this because Cheryl's on Skype, Ryan is on Skype, and so if I give him Cheryl's username, he can just presumably Cheryl could walk him through the whole thing, right?
I would think so.
All
yes.
Right. But I don't know if I can actually give out Cheryl's username. See over the phone. You
can't you type it in
for you
the text?
If you want.
Oh, I could actually just do this. Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay.
Yes.
So here's what's going to happen. Thank you, Don.
You're welcome.
And then we'll just end this whole sad. By the way, when you said you're calling tech support, you had no idea. I don't know if you were trying to be funny or not, but you had no idea how wrong you are. Like, we can't support anything here. I mean, we can barely support ourselves. So here's what's going
to
happen.
I was trying to be funny.
No. I appreciate
it. No, it was funny.
And it was also inadvertently funny.
In the spirit of the Rick Emerson show, I was trying to be funny.
Well, no, and then there was like a corpse thing right out of the gate too. So that was also good. So here's the thing. I am going to Skype you right now. Like I'm gonna, in the text box. I'm going to give you Cheryl's username. She will actually then be able to talk to you directly in Skype. She will walk you through it. Shouldn't be an issue, sir.
This is crazy.
All right. Hold. No, seriously. I'm just saying this is...
I'm on the spaceship.
Exactly. Because you live in the world of tomorrow, today, we're able to do these things, though. All right. Hold on just a second. Don't go anywhere. Somebody else is calling. Hold on. Let's see. Jesus Christ. I wish I was dead. Hello, sir, madam, as the case may be.
It's Mesh, Rick. How are you?
Hello. Hi. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine.
It's Aaron Mesh.
Oh, I thought you said Mitch. I didn't know it was Aaron
no.
Mesh. Is it 2:30 already? Oh, for the love
it
of
is.
Christ.
It is
2:30 on the nose, sir.
All right, hold on just one second. I'm not going to hang up, but I'm actually going to put you on hold for just one second here. So just hold on one second. Let's see. All right, okay. And God damn, hold on. Why didn't I think of this? Hold on. Just to... Jesus God Almighty. Okay, we're very nearly done here. Hold on a second. Just got to... Wait. Okay. Bam, there we go. All right, so I think I've just hooked him up with... So I think he now has Cheryl's... I think he now has Cheryl's info. All right, awesome. And... There we go. Fantastic. That's how much the Rick Emerson Show cares, by the way. Not like goddamn Daria and Mitch are doing this for people.
No.
All right. There we go. Fantastic.
I'll bet Daria would do it, though, if you called him.
Probably. She probably could, actually. She is way smarter than I am. I mean, I'll give you, I will give you that, actually. She probably would. I can't speak for anybody else in that show, but she would probably do that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see if I can pick up Aaron Mesher without just, like, hanging up on everybody involved. And again, I don't really have the appropriate music, so I'm just going to have to use Blackula Strikes once more as our... There we go. As our intro music for everybody. Hello, Aaron Mesh from Willamette Week. How are you on this fine Wednesday?
I'm enjoying the weather, actually.
Are you really? See, now everybody is calling in to try to give tickets.
I am driving across the Fremont Bridge as we speak. I'm breaking like 15 kinds of traffic laws. It's gorgeous out here.
Excellent. What would you say the weather is like, sir? Would you say it's is it pleasing out? Because we're like in a sort of a dimly lit studio right now. We're not really able to...
What's the phrase they use for the weather on 9/11? It was like a sheer clear or something like that.
It was a crisp, clear, blue, cloudless sky. Is how you often the phrase.
There's a piloting term for this though. When it's so clear that it's like kind of hurts your eyes slightly.
Don, what's the term for that?
I have nothing. I got absolutely nothing.
You should know this. That really, today is one of those days where it's like I could not find my own couch in my own living room if I had to. So it really, anything that requires any sort of mental candle power is going to be badly served by me today. So you'll have to do most of the thinking in this.
I just know that that David Remnick cited it in the New Yorker this week. So if you go to the first New Yorker piece this week's issue, the one with like the erase Osama bin Laden on the cover, you can find the term.
Hey,
but that is the weather today.
Can I just tell you this?
With New Yorker references.
Let me just say this really quickly about magazines and Osama bin Laden. I don't know if anybody saw. I saw this at Barnes and Noble last week. I don't know if anybody saw the new issue of Time magazine. I know that there would be a lot of, you know, there would be a debate about whether or not this was jingoistic or appropriate or insensitive or whatever. But just in terms of sheer striking imagery and art direction, last week's Time magazine is one of the best magazine covers I have seen in a long, long time. And it's a thing that you know that they must have done because they knew that people would buy it just to collect it, just to frame it. It's a really, really strikingly well-done cover. It's just a picture of Osama bin Laden, and then the cover looks as though someone has taken red spray paint and just X'd his face out in a huge X that goes from corner to corner to corner to corner. It is a very compelling and very arresting cover. So I give props to whoever created that. It's been a while since we talked. Our paths have not crossed. We've been busy and things have gone all askew and all higgledy piggledy. What is going on in your life, sir?
Oh, what is going on in my life? It has been like a month, hasn't it?
It has.
You know, I'm turning 30 in like 4 days, and I'm sort of trying to deal with that.
Are you do you have something? Are you anxious about it? Or are you filled with dread, or is it just are you viewing it with a sort of a laissez-faire kind of an attitude?
No, it's sort of for me a combination of the sense that life truly begins now, and then also the sense that possibly it's over.
Now, see, I got to tell you this, and see, Dawn is like 80, so she can give you the perspective, yeah, like the octogenarian view on this here in a few. I have to say that I am a 38, and I really have to say, and this sounds like one of those things that people say as just a justification or as like, you know, to cover up whatever. I got to say, my 30s have been awesome, like way more so than my 20s, generally speaking, because I was still just retarded, basically, from my 20s. I was just a spastic freak, and it's like as much as I'm still that now, I was way more that when I was in my 20s. It was only in my 30s. I think here's what it seems like. Being in my 30s has been a little bit like what it is when they take some kid that is just like a manic nutcase, and they finally dose him with the right kind of medication, and then he's able to be productive. That was what being in my 30s was like. It was like I was finally able to just get my own idiocy under control just enough that I could actually get stuff accomplished and get stuff done and feel like I was being moderately successful at things. So my 30s have actually been pretty great. I mean, knock wood and all, but I've had no complaints. Dawn?
I remember the last few years of my 20s, I was sort of panicking because I always assumed I would have to achieve something awesome by the time I turned 30. And then the day of my 30th birthday, I remember just kind of waking up and feeling like, well, okay, that deadline's over, and just felt this great sense of relief that I just didn't have to think about that anymore. And yeah, kind of the same way. I was my 30s a lot less neurotic and a lot less crazy than in my 20s. So 30s, much better, really, actually.
Well, this is all very encouraging. This has been a good conversation for me. I feel good.
I would also say this, and this is another thing that's true, that as much as, you know, and it's not like I really dreaded turning 30, but people, you know, like, oh, over the hill, you know, and they'll, you know, and then one of your coworkers who believes himself to be hilarious will bring you like the Grim Reaper party balloon, and you know, and just, but it was like 30, as dorky as it sounds to say this, really was just like another birthday. It was like 31, 32, 33. Those kind of suck because it's like then there's nothing special about them. Then it's just the age. Then it's like you're in your 30-something. You're in your 30s. But the actual 30 itself was actually fine. 31 is kind of where you go, well, I'm a 30s guy now. But 30, I had no issues with that whatsoever. And I've heard a lot of people say the same thing.
Once you hit your 70s, though, it all really starts to suck.
I'm just saying that. And for what it's worth, by the way, we've had several people who've made variations on the following statement. Jesus Christ, I feel so old, I assumed Aaron was like 40. So, you know, there you go. So
People have been assuming that since I was like 22, though, which is part of the reason why I'm sort of comforted by the idea of turning 30, is that, like, clearly I sucked at being in my 20s, because most people thought I was in my 40s for the majority of it.
Yeah.
So let's just roll into the 30s and see if I kind of can, like, make, like even out the thing.
Well, it's like buying shoes that are a couple sizes too large, and then, eventually you grow into them, and then you're like, I really am glad I had these. I mean, for a while it was uncomfortable, but now look at this. No newspaper in the toe or anything. So, I mean, I think you're entering the prime of your life, sir. You're all set for the new golden years.
Or it could backfire and I just start fathering bastards or something, like, immediately.
Sure, it could be that. You
can't tell. The maturity could just end.
Yeah, your junk could fall off. I mean, any number of things I imagine could happen. But, it's best to look on the sunny side of life. I haven't had a chance to see the new issue of Willamette Week. I know last week was all about, like, the dozens of miles of unpaved roads that all seem to be, like, near my house. What is in this issue of Willamette Week this week, sir?
Oh, if we must talk about the newspaper and not about me, then this week's issue of Willamette Week is our Devour Guide, which is another one of our annual issues that's dedicated to one particular aspect of gluttony. And in this particular case, it is markets. So ethnic markets and, unusual grocers and bread stores and charcuteries and any place where you can buy products to create delicious meals in your home.
And so,
we have more than 200 of those listed for you in the order that we like them.
So this is like if you were going to go be buying it, like, either weird or bizarre or imported or exotic or whatever food, so you can then take them up and whip yourself up a little something.
Oh, yeah, any kind of little fish sauce you like.
Excellent. And so do you have a particular preference? Do you have a something that you, as they say, cotton to?
No. In fact, I had nothing to do with this issue. I don't cook. I do eat out. But I don't cook. I have a bottle of fish sauce that is still sitting in my cupboard from like a year and a half ago when my boss Kelly declared you should learn how to cook some things. Here's a bottle of fish sauce. It goes well with everything. But you know what it doesn't go all that well with? Cereal.
No, I can see that. I can see how that might be a thing that would turn on you a little bit if you tried that. So I admire your honesty, though. I'm glad that you didn't just give us some generic Portland answer going, well, wasabi, or just some, like, crap that everybody would reference, well done on that. Just, because now I feel like, now I know that when you do give me the opinion on something, it's going to be untainted by just, by the mouth service that you give to the man and his publication. So well done, my friend.
I don't lie to you, Rick.
No, you traffic in truth here. That's what we do. The show is all about.
There's a kind of vulnerable honesty that I give you that's going to get me fired one of these days.
This is a safe place for you, Aaron. You can be yourself here. Speaking of honesty, so here's a thing that I did not expect. And I'm almost certain you're the one who wrote this. I did not expect this, that you had a very, very, like, an aggressively dim view of Hobo with a Shotgun.
I hated Hobo with a Shotgun.
Please to explain.
Every intentionally crappy minute of that movie, I hated.
Is it because it's a contrivance? Are you just sick of the fake grindhouse, the fake old movie thing?
I'm pretty sick of it, yeah. Like it became sort of a symbol for everything I dislike. It may be a little unfair to Hobo with a Shotgun, which I'm sure some people will enjoy, but at a certain point, it's a combination of not liking the fake grindhouse thing and honestly being a little exhausted with the real grindhouse thing. At a certain point, the elevation of this stuff into, like, an art form gets a little tiresome. It's crap.
You were talking, because the thing is that it is that Rutger Hauer is a sort of vigilante homeless guy, and he with a shotgun, and he is killing people who in turn have been killing homeless men. And it was, and I haven't really seen anything except the initial trailer, and then just some bits and pieces that I've seen, like on floating around the net, sort of people being interviewed or showing stills from the set or whatever. But I mean, the actual level of violence and vileness sort of seemed to, I don't know, I think it struck some weird chord in you in a way that I guess I wouldn't have anticipated. I guess I would have thought you would have been more jaded than that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the review, because I haven't seen it and I don't know anything about it. But it was, but of all the people that would have had a problem sort of, I didn't even want to say morally, you just felt like it was just sort of, I don't even know what the word is. Did you feel it because it was actually immoral, or how would you describe it, your feeling with the violence?
I would describe it as a visceral repulsion on my end.
It was just too disgusting. It was just vile.
I don't know. At a certain point, I feel like the movies shouldn't just exist in the world of the movies. That maybe there is a certain, like, tiny level of responsibility to the outside life. So that if you're going to make a movie about, like, a homeless man who pushes around a shopping cart and gets a shotgun and kills all the people who are then disemboweling homeless people in the streets, in a city that has a gigantic homelessness problem? I don't know. I mean, at a certain point, that starts to wig me out a little bit.
Is it...
So the celebration of that, like, and I know this movie's going to be hugely popular in Portland because this is a grindhouse city, so at a certain point, it just starts to feel a little, like, juvenile to me, or just an unwillingness to get outside of the dark room. I don't know.
No. Well, here's the thing. No, and I understand what you're saying, because I will make this comparison, and I mentioned this, I think, a few months ago. We were talking about something like this, that last Christmas, I guess it would have been, or perhaps Christmas of 2009. They all sort of blend together. But my wife and I had stayed home for Christmas, and I'm a big, at the time, I was a big Xbox gamer, and so I spent a lot of time, just playing Xbox. And my wife, being the best wife ever, had actually stopped by the store, and she got just a huge pile of food, and then she had rented like 7 different Xbox games because she plays as well. And so we're like, we're not going out of town. This is kind of what everything's going to be closed. We'll just sit at home. We'll watch TV. We'll eat. We'll be lazy. We'll play Xbox, whatever. And so the big game had been Modern Warfare 2, the Call of Duty game. And I have to tell you that I actually played Modern Warfare 2 for about an hour, and then I played it for about an hour the next day just to sort of double check my own feelings. And I actually had to quit playing it because I did feel, I don't want to say that I felt the game was immoral, but I actually did have, I felt, you perfectly know when you said wigged out, I felt it creeped me out to be playing a game that is not set like against zombies or even Nazis, that's not set in a fictitious country or a fictitious or the future. It was like set in like an actual, like the actual Mideast, using the actual American troops against actual like identifiable known cultures in a war that I can actually see like in the newspaper or theoretically or on the news right now that is actually going on, and where we presumably are sending people from all over the country, including Portland, right now. And so I actually couldn't play Modern Warfare 2 because it just made me feel too creeped out, which makes might make me a big pussy. But I was just too skeezed out by the whole thing. So I kind of do get what you're saying, that it just rings a little bit too true sometimes.
And it may be that when it comes to this movie, like either it hit buttons the wrong way for me. Maybe it's actually a very effective movie in that it like caused me to have a reaction. I'll grant that possibility. I don't know to what degree does entertainment have a responsibility to not numb our sensitivities? Is, I think, a pretty fair question. And at the same time, to what degree does it give us a channel for things that we need to get out of our system? I don't know.
I do actually have to ask at this point, real quickly, just because I am a big fan of his, is Rutger Hauer, he sounds like he's at least, he is the best thing maybe about a movie you didn't like all that much.
Absolutely. Howard's fine. I like Rutger Hauer a lot, and actually, maybe part of the reason why this movie bugged me so much is that he gives a much more accurate portrayal of a mentally disturbed homeless man than was probably necessary.
That doesn't surprise me, actually. It seems like a thing that he could channel without too much difficulty. He's sort of, Rutger Hauer seems like? He seems like if Gary Busey were to be just sitting in a room all day just smoking big bags of crack and just thinking horrible thoughts and then deciding it was time to take out the trash. He seems to come
that's
from that same
much,
sort
that's
of...
That's pretty much where he comes from in the film as well.
Yeah, it's just this place of like really, really coloring, like his whole brain is like in this really angry squiggle vision. Or so it seems to me. New issue
so,
on... Yes, let's go ahead.
The argument can be certainly made, and someone, I'm sure, at some point will, and they ought to, that I'm being kind of a humorless prick about this film. But,
not everything is for everybody. And I totally, again, it's like, I'm no one to say that you can't be, weirded out or wigged out or just feel... I mean, for lack of a better word, just feel icky about watching something, because I certainly have had that experience. I mean, I remember watching, this seems like the wrong example to make, because people always go to this movie, but I remember several times, and I finally got through it because it was like a matter of principle. I'm a completist. I remember several times watching I Spit on Your Grave and getting about halfway through and just going like, I don't need to be putting this in my head. Like, I could be outside in the sunshine, which is totally not a me thing to say. And I was just like, I could be reading a good book, I remember watching, just thinking like, there's no reason this needs to exist, and there's no reason I need to be wasting minutes of my life watching it. So that certainly, that line does exist, I think, even for people that are into that kind of film typically. And
on this movie, I found my line.
Excellent. You can, and I do encourage people to read the entire review, because it's actually really, whether you agree with it or not, it's really well written. It's in the new issue of Willamette Week. That is out now on stands, and you can also read it online at WWeek.com. I'm glad we had this time to talk, Aaron. You come back and see me next week for another 50 minutes, and we'll make you feel fine.
All right, good. I'll be 30 then.
Excellent. There you go. Happy birthday in advance, my friend.
Or dead.
Excellent. Or, you know, possibly both, depending on what order things happen in.
Exactly.
All right. Aaron Mesh from Willamette Week. Thank you, sir. All right. That is Mr. Aaron Mesh. Let's see if I can hang this up without hanging up on everybody else that's on hold here. All right. All right. Let's see. And I think somebody else just... Jesus. It's like that thing we've talked about where it's like we can just go like days and it's like everybody is Skyping or everybody is texting. Today's one of those days where just everybody in their... And I'm not complaining about this. I'm just saying it's weird. Everybody and their goddamn mother is calling today. Which would be fine, I guess is fine, except I don't really have the hold thing down. The idea that how you put one line on hold while picking up another one, I haven't really mastered that. So I'm always afraid that I'm going to be... Because it does this counterintuitive thing, I think, of putting the current call on hold to answer the new one, which is not what you want it to do. I'm fairly certain that Sarah Dillon was trying to call us during that break, too. And then somebody named Elizabeth, whoever that might be. Let's see what she has to say here.
Okay.
And then we'll do a thing. La ba da da ba 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 da da ba ba da ba 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 da la la da da.
Hello.
Hello, Sarah Dillon. It's Rick Emerson and Don Taylor. How are you?
Wow, what a surprise.
Were you just calling us?
How are you doing?
We're dandy. Were you just ringing in?
I was just going to try and mess with you. Like, I was mad, but I have no idea what I'm talking about. Someone just wrote me and said that I should call in because you're talking about me licking laptops and porn or something.
Oh, God. Is this the same thing that... So this is like that thing from a couple weeks ago when I was talking about how
I was just really curious as to... I really did want to kind of see how, like, 1 + 2 + 3 equaled, like, a story.
Yeah, so so everybody knows what we're talking about. So, like, a couple weeks ago, so I was mentioning this thing about Sarah and I getting the colon cleansing. And, you know, wah, colon. And then... And then, as always happens, there's always somebody who is like ever grateful. They're only too happy to just text the person who's being talked about and say, they are saying the worst things about you right now. If I were you, I'd be morally outraged and call in. This was something that our friend Seamus had suggested. I shouldn't have outed him like that. But this is something Seamus suggested.
Oh, Seamus.
Well, long story short, so we were talking about Dawn and Dawn's tendency to sort of spill food and beverages on herself occasionally. Like, she's a bit of a haphazard eater. And, like, one out of every three mouthfuls or forkfuls or swigs will end up just going down her, you know, down the front of her clothing.
That might be a bit of an exaggeration.
But she's, you know, occasionally a little bit of a spattering. And so... So Todd, the corpse, had opined. He said that could be like a, you know, brand new kind of like a fetish porn. He's like, it could just be, you know, spill porn where, like, you know, Dawn is just on camera, you know, fully clothed or whatever, just like spilling things, just spilling stuff on herself. And like a guy go, hey, check it out. This chick is going to spill some ice cold Gatorade on her, you know, on her shoe. Watch. And then Seamus noted, he said, you could make an entire brand. And so then that led to this discussion of niche fetishes that we could make money off of. And he said, you ought to have a whole thing that's just Sarah licking Xbox controllers.
That's gross.
And then it became other geek accessories like licking a laptop. And it would just be like, no nudity, no sex. It's just you going like, hey, so, look at this. Look at this PlayStation 3 add-on USB hub. And then you just give it a good lick. And
only
then,
if it was just like right out of the package and not touched by hands. Just think of all the germs. Many germs.
That's your issue. It's not like licking things for fanboys and game players. It's that you want to make sure that it's actually factory sealed so that there's no oog on it. Which I get.
This
I'm with
true.
You. I guess. So that is the that was the conversation. Yeah. It was that we could make money having chicks lick Xbox controllers.
All right, well, let me ask you this, Rick and Don. Are you guys at least recording with the window open today so that you can see this gorgeous day outside? I'm sitting like in a tank top on a patio right now.
No.
Do you really think that's an option with Mr. Rick Emerson? Really?
Actually, that's true. That's true. I forgot about
it. Hold on. Let me just... it burns. No, I can't... because it's not even that I'm opposed to the sun. It's just that, like, now, like, if we had always done the show with the curtains open, I think it'd be one thing. But now, it's not even that the sun would be coming in, and Sarah knows this. It's that something would be different. And then that just doesn't...
See, I came in this morning...
Change.
I came in this morning, and I had the curtain open. And then, yeah, first thing he did when he got here was, like, whip the curtain closed, so...
Yeah. I'll make sure that it's... what time are you and Gregory arriving?
Oh, we'll come in around around the Ouge and around the somewhere around 3:30-ish or so.
All right, I will endeavor to make sure that the curtains are open when you come into the studio, so that your first glimpse of your recording facility today is bright and filled with joy.
Thank you so much, friend.
All right, there you go, Sarah Dillon and Greg Nibbler can be heard funemploymentradio.com each and every weekday around six or so. So there you go. Yeah, the last time when we were talking about the colon cleansing thing. So some, busybody, tight-ass friend of hers who is unknown to me, texted her, they are just saying vile things about you. I would be really pissed off if I were you. And which is, there was always somebody. Yeah, well, and you will at a certain, well, you won't. Patrick will get this probably if he, does he have friends? I mean.
Yes, he has
does
friends.
Does he have friends that are not like battle mages or like Valkyries?
Yes, he does.
Do they have At as their middle name? Does he have friends in RL?
Yes, he has RL friends.
All right. So at some point, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, he's a pretty level guy, but at some point he will have some friend that will say they said the worst thing about, I don't know how you deal with that. I would be really, really angry if someone said that. And then he'll go, so what are we saying about me on the show today? Because he'll have gotten some totally vague, completely alarmist, inflammatory description of what was being said. So. That is not a thing that was the thing that happened with Lara for the first couple of years, because she would just have these jag-off friends. They're just these yentas just sitting around and just can't wait to text her about something, they believe that I should not have said.
I think probably the fact that people actually have to seek out this show and pay for the show, and so they actually want to be listening to it and they understand what we're doing, probably cuts way back on the incidence of that. Whereas if we were on, regular terrestrial radio, people could possibly just hear it in their car.
That's right.
And then be offended by it and bothered. But, it'd
be horrible they'd be horrified by the what was it? By the trashy queer nature of the program?
Yes. Yeah. Although Patrick's mother listens and she just finds it all delightful. So
hello. Let's see. Somebody said, did that guy really say that his babysitter's mom died and so it was a great day? Yes. Yes, he did.
Yes.
So a great day because he was able to listen live. That's not a great day because of the death and the dying and the hey.
Oh, that's too bad. Darn the luck. No, honey, I'll stay home with the kids and listen to Rick Emerson.
That's right. I mean, it's really, but that is his way. He's covering up the pain by using this program. It's really this show. He's crying on the inside, but he's snickering at penis jokes on the outside. Oh, hey, Ryan just stepped in. Ryan in San Diego says, yes. I'm sorry. He actually says, yeah, and then mothers, but it's spelled M-U-T-H-A-S, sort of twisted sisters. Says, yeah, mothers, haha, all caps, Cheryl rules. So he is presumably listening live now. I meant to ask him more questions about San Diego, starting with, is it sunny where you are? And then also ask, because I myself lived there for a spell, and that is a place where I will end up living again. If you want to stalk me in the future, not like today, but maybe like next week.
I've had sex in Escondido.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it with a swarthy man?
No, I wasn't that swarthy.
All right. That is a place that I will move back to. It's some sort of a private island that I have purchased with a conglomeration of my hopefully wealthy friends at that point. Let's see. All right. Somebody says, I felt icky after watching the movie Kids. Yeah, see, that's another one where I'm not saying it's immoral to make them, just to close out the hobo with a shotgun thing. I don't think anybody would say that he shouldn't make the movie or that it's immoral to make it. But I remember watching that movie and thinking, why do I need to stick this into my brain? And I think I only watched it because it was considered so controversial and blah, blah, blah.
Honestly, I think there's something, I personally think there's something wrong with people who don't ever have any qualms about the things that they're watching in movies. Because my thing over the last few years has been I'm really, really uncomfortable. And I've talked about this. I talked about this on your show like a couple of years ago. I'm very uncomfortable with the fact that we see so many movies that are sanitized so they can get like a PG-13 rating. But what that means is that you don't see any real world consequences for all of the destruction and the death that's going on.
Right.
Godzilla swipes his tail, through several New York office buildings, and that would cause the death of hundreds, if not thousands, of people. The X-Men blow up a street full of cars and things are flying through the air. And people are dying, but you don't actually see the dying.
Right.
You never see the blood, you never see the decapitation, you never see the dying. It's okay to shoot a whole bunch of guys if they're in SWAT team helmets, or something where you're not seeing human faces. And that, I've become more and more uncomfortable with that over the years, that we just see so much just rampant death for our own entertainment's sake without seeing any kind of consequence to the violence.
Well, and at least, and again, you know, it's like, I don't think we're either of us are like killjoys or whatever, but it is interesting to think that nobody even really, that stuff is not even ever pondered. You know, it's not like it has to be balanced and everything, but it is interesting when you think about how blithely we just sort of, you know. So, yeah, no, I'm with you. If somebody is not bothered by anything ever, that there's something really wrong with you. Oh, by the way, apparently it was Keelan who actually said the thing about licking the Xbox controller, not Seamus.
I'm not surprised.
But Seamus then noted, on the other hand, Sarah has lots of hot friends. We could totally get rich here. You get the webcam. I'll register the domain. Then we'll set up an Apple store. Okay, I like what we're saying. That's fantastic. The island could be closer than I think. All right. Well, we should do this. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We've still got all of our watches to do. No, we did the corpse watch.
We did the corpse watch.
Okay, we'll do either the clergy watch or the cannibal watch. We should let Ryan, the new listener, perhaps choose. Or Amy or Jacob. Let's see. So, Jacob have I loved. Ryan have I shunned. Let's see. We'll do a little Old Testament humor there for you. Back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Don't go anywhere. We return.
You're listening to the Emerson News Network.
Keep your head out of the loop.
You're listening to the Emerson News Network.
You're listening to the Emerson News Network.
It is the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for joining us and so forth. All right. As a final note to that whole thing, Seamus just says, so after all of this, so apparently now it... Apparently it was Seamus who actually started the whole thing about the licking the Xbox controller, but he joked that I should blame Keelan, which I then just did, because I'm an easily malleable, like, pawn. Anyway, said I'd rather have Keelan beat my ass than Sarah. All right, well, fair enough. Let's see, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for joining us. That was Roger Klein that we just heard. He'll be at Dante's this Friday, the 20th. That is the day after tomorrow, so forth. Yes, it's Wednesday, which means that come about an hour from now, you're going to be hearing Don Taylor at Cascadia.fm for another installment of Hamfisted Radio. You can hear that at Cascadia.fm, live 4 p.m. Pacific time on Wednesdays, or at HamfistedRadio.com later on. Is it on iTunes as well?
It is indeed.
All right, so iTunes or HamfistedRadio.com or, you know, live. What are you and Bobby going to be talking about today?
Not really sure, but if he hasn't exhausted it already this morning on his own show, we may talk about the kerfuffle over one of the geek trivia questions last night. I wasn't there, but apparently he asked what the title of Ray Bradbury's book, Fahrenheit 451, refers to. And
well, hold on. Don't give the answer yet, because so is that what? Do you know the actual question? The way it was phrased,
because I can find it for you.
Okay.
I
like to wade into kerfuffle.
Okay, let me.
Before we do that, let me just do this, Don. The polarizing and divisive question you're about to hear is brought to you by Squires Electric. Find out more by going to squireselectric.com or facebook.com/Squires Electric. You can also call. It's 503-252-1609. 503-252-1609. You can call them not so much for lulls as it is for actual things. If you've got issues or problems with your wires, your Ethernet, your if you're going to be wiring for broadband, or if you've got, or even just something where it's like, you know, you want that jazz where the secretary can be like, there's somebody in the lobby you probably want to avoid, Mr. Jenkins, so you want to maybe go out the side door? How's she going to do that if the wiring isn't right? She's going to have to shout everything or just, like, pass messages or, you know, whatever. You don't want to do that. So you want to, make sure that everything is working properly, especially if you're going to be renting the space to somebody else. And, you know, like if you are moving into an office space and you get there and nothing works, you're going to be all pissed off, and then there's going to be unpleasantness. So if you have a space you're going to be renting out to other people, you're going to be buying a house, maybe you're going to be selling your own home, and make sure everything works properly. And as we get into, here's the other thing, because now there's all this, this hideous sun outside. The hideous sun demon is looming outside my window, which means that pretty soon everybody, I mean me, is going to be turning on air conditioners, because it's going to be cracking 70 degrees, and that can't happen. So you want to, you know, you don't want to be the guy that's just, you turn on your air conditioner and it just goes like, and blows dust out the back and then quits working, because that would suck. So have all that stuff taken care of, like, now, by calling Squires Electric. It's 503-252-1609. Or God forbid, like, your business, like, the air conditioning stops running at your business. I mean, you might as well just beat your customers with sticks at that point. It's 503-252-1609 or SquiresElectric.com. That is SquiresElectric.com. It has to do with wires or wiring in your home or business. They can make your life easier. They also bring you, by the way, this observation. The final thing. Mike in Southeast says, because this is in reference to San Diego, he says, Dawn should pronounce it Sexcandido. And then he says, for her own amusement, not ours.
Sure.
So there you go. Sexcandido. All right, so Geek Trivia was last night?
Right.
Okay, and it's because it's at its new location of...
The Kennedy School.
And so who... So Bobby was talking about this today. So who was running the Geek Trivia game last night?
Court and Bobby.
I can't believe you didn't mention this early on.
Well, I didn't go last night.
No, but I mean, like, you were aware of it, certainly. Because I was, you know, I was out of the loop this morning.
So many things we've been talking about, though.
All right, so Court and Bobby were running it.
Right.
Did they come up with the questions themselves?
Yes, they write the questions themselves.
All right, and do we know who the complainant was?
I believe in this case it was many, many of the geeks. First of all, I guess this was, he said it on Facebook, this was by far the best attended Geek Trivia they've ever had, and there was much outrage. Like, apparently they rose up as one against Bobby and his take on the actual answer
so
to this question.
What is the question?
Now here's the verbatim question.
Okay.
Fahrenheit 451 is a pretty damned good novel. Sure, it's not a Star Wars book, and Ray Bradbury is no Kevin J. Anderson, but Fahrenheit isn't just a cool title. It's a reference to a specific detail in the book. What is Fahrenheit 451?
Well, it's two things. It's it is Montag's identification number. It's the number on Montag's helmet. It is also the temperature at which paper burns and combusts, as noted in the text of the book itself.
Yes, well, here's the problem. Most of the people who answered the question said it's the temperature with paper burns. Bobby insisted that the actual answer is that it is the temperature at which books burn.
I can see the issue there.
And he also, as way of supporting his argument, apparently on the paperback edition of the novel, the tagline on the paperback edition, it actually reads on the book, the temperature at which books burn.
Now, there's the tagline, but there is also... There's the tagline in the back of the book, but there's also it's listed as almost like a quote in the, you know, where like the preface would be, where like, you know, someone like Stephen King almost puts like a rock and roll quote. That's there, or is that the quote about if they give you ruled paper, right the other way? I think it might be in both places. I think it might be on the inside cover or on the behind the title page as well. Now I don't know, and if it is, well, he would know though. I mean, so maybe it's only on the back cover. Maybe it's not actually inside the book.
But I would also say, though, you know, I think I kind of fall on the side of the geeks, though, where it's like, if it is indeed the temperature at which paper burns, which is why it's the temperature at which books burn, that is still a correct answer.
I would say, by the way, yeah, I would say you have to go with it to the temperature at which paper burns, because the other one is a relative statement.
Yes. If
a book is made of rock, it doesn't burn at any temperature.
Right. As I mentioned, we were talking about it on Twitter later, and I said, well, it's a little like, you know, saying there's a difference between ice cubes and frozen water.
Right.
I mean, you know, books are made of paper.
Even if a book is made of plates or if it's made of tablet, I mean, what is a book? I mean, that gets into a whole thing of like, is an electronic book a book?
But I mean, if books burn at 451 degrees Fahrenheit because they're made of paper, therefore it's the temperature at which paper burns. We're saying the same thing.
I'm saying you can't define it as the temperature at which a book burns, because a book is a vague term.
Yeah.
If you are going to look for hard truth, then one has to, you know, then you have to look at it from a scientific perspective, in which case you would have to say paper, because paper is paper.
But on his side, I believe Bobby is making this argument in that he's asking this question about the novel Fahrenheit 451. Mm. And apparently the word books is what is used in the novel itself. So so we will probably be discussing this more on our show.
I guess I can see both sides to it, I suppose. By the way, according to Wikipedia, and this is just Wikipedia, but according to Wikipedia now, Wikipedia says it is the temperature at which book paper burns. So there you go. So to make things more complicated, Wikipedia actually identifies it as book paper. I don't know. I guess my question is, here's what it really comes down to, and this has to do. This is all about being the. This has to do with being Court and Bobby. Were they looking for the? What am I trying to say? Were they looking for the quote? Or for the actual scientific answer?
I believe he was looking for the specific reference to the book Fahrenheit 451.
Does the question say they wanted a quote?
It said it's a reference to a specific detail in the book. What is Fahrenheit 451? So that means so I can see their point that if it says in the book it's the temperature at which books burn, then that would be the detail that they were looking for.
See, now I can't remember whether the Fahrenheit 451, that little blurb about it, the temperature at which books or paper whatever burns, whether it's in the actual book itself or whether it only exists on the back copy. But here's why that's important, because back cover copy changes from edition to edition. So it is perfect. This is the other thing you should bring up to him. Not that I really care all that much about it. But I mean, if we are going to analyze this as an actual thing, which we do, that you should note to him that not every copy of that book has that quote on the back, right. I would imagine. And so
the original hardcover didn't.
Yeah, so it's like, so when he says it's a specific detail in the book, that presumes that he, in other words, the correctness or incorrectness of the answer assumes that his premise is correct. And his premise may not be correct if it hasn't been on every edition of the book. Then he is building his answer on a house of sand, on a foundation of sand. So, all right. In the introduction to the 40th anniversary edition of the novel, Bradbury states a person he spoke with at the local fire department said book paper catches fire at 450 degrees Fahrenheit. So Bradbury himself, for the record, uses the phrase book paper.
Book paper.
Not books, not paper, book paper.
There you go.
That's almost the best answer, by the way. If the actual real truth is that it's
wrong.
Books paper, that you're all wrong, but you're all right. It's like Murder on the Orient Express. We all did it. Sorry. Spoilers. Lulz. I'm going to start saying lulz, not lol.
Okay.
I'm moving on from that. Oh, God, I hate myself. All right. Let me burn my copy of Zombie Economics and find out what happens. That's very amusing, sir. Thank you. Hey, did I tell you that I used a Kindle for the first time?
Yes.
The other day?
Yes,
it was kind of weird. The whole thing was sort of weird, sort of great, kind of strange. You know, here's the thing that would have been handy to know while writing a book. Kindle, no page numbers there.
No.
Yeah. So there you go. Fortunately, I don't think we have anything. I think there's like a single sole reference, like on very, very, very nearly the last page, where we actually reference like something earlier. We say like on page 225. But we tried very hard not to make it sort of tied to itself at any point. But that is a thing that I'm glad we didn't do, because we would have been effed on that, because there are no page numbers on the Kindle.
Yeah, you can't do choose your own adventure on the Kindle.
No, well, you can. Well, you could probably do it really easily on the Kindle, because you would just press the thing and it would take you there.
You have hot links.
Yeah, you would just link.
You didn't say, go to page 12.
Yeah, and I guess I should have known this. Would you have known that it didn't have numbers?
Not
I didn't
really.
Know until I used it.
I've only used, like I said, I've only used the Kindle app on the phone, and I remember it going through this thing of just going, trying to figure out what page I was on and realizing that, oh, it's measuring like phone screen page, not actual page.
Yeah. I've talked to several people since then. Well, first of all, like Lisa and Todd had the same reaction. And then I've talked to several people who've written books. I think Walker had this reaction where I was like, did you know that, like, and I can't speak for other readers, like the Nook or whatever. But I said, did you know the Kindle doesn't have any page numbers? He went, really? And I said, and so nobody knew. And I said, well, and it occurred to me, it's also because the point size is adjustable. And so if you're blind and you're making it like Reader's Digest large print edition, well, of course, it's going to be 700 pages long. Whereas if you're reading it the way we wrote it, it's 304 pages long or whatever. So
this is one of those really just ridiculously wonky things. But then that makes me think about the whole process that David went through of creating the Kindle app for his book.
Yeah.
Because what sort of files you would use for that then? Because if you're writing a book and you're doing like I'm doing with the novel I'm writing, where I'm actually writing it in a program that formats it as I'm writing it.
I believe what they do is it's like a proprietary PDF. I think they do imagery. They do character recognition.
Oh.
And so they just scan the entire book. As I understand it, I don't know if this is correct, because it's a proprietary format, Kindle. And so it's like the MOB format or something. I believe that they use like a character recognition thing that scans it and then...
Okay.
And then they go through. They do like anything else. They have like a copy editor or a proofreader who goes through and then actually just make sure that the formatting is proper when they go all the way through. But that was like a thing we had too, because we have like graphics and everything. And it was like my whole – and Seamus had actually mentioned that he'd gotten books occasionally where the formatting – and it's not foolproof, because he said that he's gotten books where the formatting is like all messed up.
Yeah.
And so that was actually the reason I borrowed it from my friend Kara. Like I wanted to go through and be – because there are certain points where like the below chart will clearly show, but it's like if the chart is like in the wrong, like you would just be effed. And so we had to do a thing of like, because the book has worksheets, and we had to do a whole thing of like embedding a little message to Kindle readers saying like, hey, if you need, you know, like here's like go to this section of the site, and it's like the worksheet is actually available for you and whatever, which is the thing that more and more people are going to have to do, because, and that's a thing that's not going to be solved anytime soon, because like the thing about like having a book on the Kindle, for example, is that you can read it, but with anything like that, like it's not writable. And that's because of that's all because of digital rights technology, because Amazon doesn't want the text to be alterable in any way. So you can't actually if you have, like a book where you are wanting to put something in a box or in a sheet or in a spreadsheet or whatever, you can't do it, because they don't want you to be able to adjust it, because they want it to be locked. So you can't be like sharing it with your friends or whatever. So it was actually we were actually really lucky, because ours is almost all text, with the exception of a couple worksheets, which are basically just spreadsheets, but I mean, you know, put in a specific place. But I mean, if it was like, I mean, if you were doing like a children's book or something for the Kindle, where it was like a lot of pictures or things had to be like, or God forbid, like Stephen King sometimes does this, where he'll actually show stylized text as like handwriting,
yeah,
or weird fonts or something. I have no idea how that would work. I mean, it just, you know, yeah. Let's see. All right. Somebody's noted the robot car drivers format the Kindle pages during their off time. Lulz. Let's not do these other watches here. Let's wrap this up, because you got to go to Ham-Fisted Radio here in just a few.
Yeah, I do.
All right.
I do.
Tomorrow we'll have the clergy watch, also a cannibal watch, also what's tomorrow, Thursday. So it would just be us yakking. John, chewing the fat, shooting the breeze.
Sharing our thoughts with the people.
That's right. That's exactly what we're going to be doing. We're going to be here. We're just going to be. I'm trying to do the Bruce Williams thing. I've lost it now. Yeah, Bruce. We talk to you about your hopes, your dreams, your ambitions, all the things that make you so very special. Me, yeah, I'm Bruce. This is TalkNet. That's not even the jingle though. What's the TalkNet jingle? I'm asking a room full of nothing now, because there's no one in the world who knows this.
No.
Someone to talk to, someone to share, someone to turn to, because that's what friends do. Someone to listen, TalkNet, someone who cares. There we go. That's the TalkNet jingle. I'm an idiot. All right, let's take one more phone call before we end this. Hello, this is probably what's his name, just calling back to say that his thing was, he can hear me now. Hello, sir, madam, is the case maybe. Who is this? Wait, I think I've got to actually not turn. Okay, we're ending the show now. We're going home. Bye now. The Rick Emerson Show comes to you live each and every. I'm ending this now. The Rick Emerson Show comes to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network. I above the Milk Packing District in glorious Southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, it's Don Taylor, Advanced Technology and Magic, brought up by Mr. Thomas Gill, Executive Producer Bruce Agler, Chief of Staff Cheryl Kanakoa. It was like Wednesday was the new Thursday somehow.
So what's tomorrow going to be?
I have no idea.
Oh my God.
So after a brief interlude, we'll have an encore of the day's Legion of News, followed by an encore of this very fine radio program. It is Wednesday, May 18th, 2011. Thank you for listening. Be safe. See you tomorrow. Bye now. Watch out for snakes.